Hello. Welcome to Calcium Bentonite Clay and Understanding of Clay. My name is Perrier, and welcome to our second teleseminar discussing calcium bentonite clay, how it works, questions and answers. It's sort of a vast subject to cover. I'm happy to have you with me today and encourage everyone to submit a question if you have one. If you are listening online through your computer, you can submit a question. And if you are listening through the telephone, when you have a question, if you will press star 2, it will come up on my computer as a raised hand, and I'll know to call on you and unblock you so you can come on the air with me and ask a question. Again, my name is Perry A., also known as Perry Arledge. I'm the author of a book called Living Clay, Nature's Own Miracle Cure, Calcium Bentonite Clay. And I'm here today as the author of that book, sharing information and knowledge about clay and how it works. Last week on our teleseminar, we had some leftover questions, so I'm going to go back and read those and start there. It was a question from Megan and said, "Hi, Perry. I have this pain in my neck for the past 2 weeks. At first, I thought I slept wrong, but it just doesn't seem to go away. Will clay help me?" Yes, Megan, I believe it will. Clay is very beneficial in relaxing muscles. So if you apply the hydrated clay, the cleansing clay mask, or the ratio of 1:3 if you're using living clay, if you apply this topically to the area, to the muscles all around that area, I think you'll feel a relief in the pain probably within 10 minutes. And also clay baths are very good for this, just to get your body down in that hot water. You can put the clay on topically beforehand and then get down in the warm water, and it relaxes those tightened muscles. Often we sleep wrong, or maybe we're on the computer and it's all connected to that little mouse and clicking all day long. I get that pain in my neck. There is a product from the Living Clay Company called Muscle Rub. Now, it has got tea tree oil, peppermint oil, and jojoba oil in with the clay. It's like a mild icy hot, and it is excellent for any kind of sore muscles, arthritic pains, pain from a sprain. It's just superb. It's one of my favorite products. Now then, I have a question from Carly in Michigan. "Can clay be used on hair or scalp? Can it be mixed with shampoo? Does it affect dyed blonde hair?" Carly, clay will not affect your dye. It won't lighten your hair color. We had a redhead test that, and it's fine with dye. How can it be used on hair and scalp? You can wet your hair and scalp, massage the clay into the scalp, kind of part your hair, get it down on the scalp. If you want to rub it all around the hair, you can. What the clay will do when it starts drying is pull out impurities. It will stimulate blood flow to the scalp and any dormant hair follicles. It will help to resuscitate them and revive them. Now, if the hair follicle is dead, it's not going to grow a new hair follicle so you can grow new hair. But generally, people who use the clay on their scalp, even with thinning hair, notice new hair coming in just a matter of in a week or so. Can it be mixed with shampoo? I guess it can, but if you mix it with the whole bottle, the clay is going to pull impurities and the shampoo down to the bottom, and you're going to have your shampoo bottle is going to be compromised because you're going to have this goo on the bottom. It's pulled some elements out of the shampoo. What I would do is massage the clay in and then use the shampoo to wash it out, and it will be more effective that way. Now, when you apply clay to your hair, it pulls out excess oils. So if you have very oily hair, this is a good thing because it gets that oil out and it gives your hair more body. If you have coarser, dry hair, it might be too much. So when you finish, you might want to consider using a conditioner, sort of a rinse to put the moisture back in your hair. And maybe once a month, I do it anyway, use a hot oil treatment. And I think someone on the internet the other day suggested using a coconut oil, and you have to melt it. It's like you use the coconut oil for cooking, and you might need to melt it in the microwave and rub it all over your hair and leave it on for an hour or so, and it really resupplies the moisture to your hair. Stephanie in Allen, Texas. What would be the doses to use in an enema? Well, generally in an enema, you have about a quart of water, and I would say 2 ounces of the liquid clay mixed in with your enema water for a quart or under. You can also use that for a douche. It's very good as a cleansing douche. Sharon in Fort Collins, Colorado. Will putting clay on moles or warts shrink them? Sharon, yes, I have had success in that. It takes time. You have to be diligent. You need to keep the wet clay on the area at night. I have some moles on my face I've been working on, and they have reduced, but they've not gone completely away. So before bedtime, I take a little smear of the hydrated clay and put it pretty thickly over those 2 moles. Let it dry, and I just sleep with it on. And it's beginning to wear them down and dry them up and get them smaller. Some skin tabs, particularly, you may need to keep a Band-Aid or a little square of the Glad Press and Seal, putting the clay on the tacky side, and it acts like a Band-Aid where it'll keep the wet clay on the area so it can work. Your skin tags, most of them are around your neck area where the color has rubbed, and so it's difficult to keep the clay on it. If you just put it on, let it dry, well, your collar rubs it off. So just use a little common sense and get it on. There are different types of moles. Some moles it works on quicker than others. It works very rapidly on warts. It's a little harder on planter's warts because they're so deeply embedded, but it works very good on superficial warts. Generally, they're gone. If you apply the thick clay and leave them on like at least all night, they're gone within a week. Diane in Riley says, Diana says, will living clay help headaches behind your eyes and how would you apply it? Diana, for headaches behind the eyes, I would apply the hydrated clay over my temple area and around my eyes and maybe saturate a warm washcloth with some of the hydrated clay and just lay it over your eyes and your face. Again, it's going to help relax the tension. A lot of times when we have headaches, we resist the pain, and it's in the resistance that we tighten up all the muscles, and that tightness is what accentuates the headaches, and it's our fighting it that makes them get even worse because we're shutting down the space for oxygen and blood flow to come in and to relieve it. So as you're laying down with the wash rag over your face, clay wash rag over your face, kind of breathe into the pain and relax and just expand and try to release that tension. Notice the tightness you're holding in your forehead and maybe even down in your jaw. So hopefully that will benefit you. The next question is from Jean in Sacramento, California. Can clay be of benefit for cancer tumors in the lymph gland? Clay has shrunk some tumors. I never take a stand for advocating clay that it will absolutely cure a cancer. I know of people who have pulled cancers out of their body. You need to know what you're doing to do that, cancerous tumors. Here's the thing. Clay will stimulate the lymph glands. The lymph glands are a filtering system, so it certainly can't hurt to try using it. And what it does when you apply it to a tumor is clay draws the cancer back to the point of origin. For instance, my niece had a cancer on her nose, and they were afraid they would have to remove a good portion of her nose. I had her using clay on her nose before surgery, and just would come as soon as she got home at night, just put the thick clay on, let it dry, wash it off, put more on, put it on at night. And it pulled all the clay to one spot, so when they did the surgery, they were able to get it without mutilating her nose. I've seen people with a malignant mole, and they put it on, and it gets red about the size of a quarter or a 15-cent piece around the mole. So what you see is the clay drawing the cancer back to the point of origin, the strong pulling power. So in essence, it's going to help stop the spreading topically. And then, of course, I would drink the clay just for the detoxing effect that it has on the body and how that supports the immune system. When the body is not fighting toxins, it has more time to do what it needs to do. And when you take it internally, it takes excess toxins that we absorb every day, ingest every day, take in through our mouth, and it captures those and carries them out of the body before they're absorbed into the body in the bloodstream, where the kidney, the liver, and the lymphatic system, which are our filtering systems, has to take care of clearing it out. Terry in Morocco said, help, Lyme's disease. Terry, I'm not sure if clay actually has an effect on the specific bacteria that is Lyme's disease. What it does is support the immune system. I think more and more people are getting Lyme disease nowadays because the immune system has been compromised by so much toxicity that we ingest every day. And our bodies are fighting all this toxicity that they're in a more weakened, compromised state. And the body's natural immune system can't fight off some of these diseases like Lyme diseases. Now, I have several practitioners who recommend their customers to us when they have Lyme's disease, and I know they also use a protocol of minerals and supplements, and they recommend, you know, healthy eating, eating vegan, and you want to get your protein. There's a way to eat vegan. It doesn't just mean you eat lettuce the rest of your life. You need things like seeds and nuts with protein in them. So you might check into that. Marlene in Austin said, I like to brush my teeth with the clay mask and then leave the residue in my mouth. Is the clay abrasive to the enamel on my teeth? No more so than your toothpaste. I've been using it for years to brush my teeth, and I like a mixture of the powdered clay. I have my own recipe, and I use the dry powdered clay, some baking soda, a couple of teaspoons of ground cloves for flavor, and about a teaspoon of peppermint oil. And what else? Oh, you can add stevia to make it a little sweeter. Now, I use 6 tablespoons of the dry powder clay to 2 tablespoons of the baking soda. And I put this in a little container and just shake it and get it well mixed. And then I actually like the lathering effect for my toothpaste. So I put the toothpaste on my toothbrush, wet it, shake it out a little, and dip it in the powder and brush my teeth that way. My teeth actually feel like I just left the dentist having my teeth cleaned. And when I went to the dentist the last checkup, I didn't have, you know, the calcium deposits built up in my gum line. So I think it's definitely very beneficial. Marlene also asked, would you repeat how to take clay for a colon cleanse? It's the same as you take for a detox, Marlene, using the living clay. And that's the example I use. So all clays are different, so you mix them. I like this clay because it swells 3 times and you actually get more for your money. So take the living clay and make the liquid clay recipe. And that's 1 part of clay to 8 parts of water. So So if you use 1 cup of clay, you would use 8 cups of water. That's what an 8-to-1 ratio. I generally use 1 ounce of clay to 8 ounces of water. Or you can double that recipe. Get a funnel, put your water in first, get a funnel, put your clay in, put the lid on, and shake it rigorously for about a minute. Kind of loosen the lid to let it breathe and expand and swell. Tighten it, shake it again. Every time you're ready to take your clay, go by and drink. And for a cleanse and a detox, I recommend 2 ounces twice a day for at least 14 days. You can do it longer if you like, depending on the degree of cleanse you need to do. So you mix that up. You can either drink it straight. I have my own bottle, live by myself, so I just go by and take a couple of swigs, follow it with water. Now, if you don't like the taste, you can add it in juice. My grandson takes it in the apple juice. I have people who use pineapple juice. You can make a smoothie, a fruit smoothie, or a green smoothie, and add it to your smoothies. So there are any number of ways to take it that it goes down a little better. Once you get used to it, there's very little taste to clay. It does leave a slight chalky residue in your mouth afterwards. But do that twice a day. Now, if you're taking medicines, you want to check with your pharmacy. Find out how long it takes you to absorb your medicines. Generally, they don't know if bentonite clay will interfere with the medicine or not. They don't take time to go look it up in the Merrick Index that they have available. So I'm just going to say, ask them how long it takes to absorb your medicine. Wait that long and then take your clay. The beauty of clay is you can take it any time. A lot of people prefer taking it on an empty stomach where it can really go to work without any interference from flu. But clay is so strong, it's going to work inevitably. If you just get it in you and on you, it'll do its thing. So it's safe to take before a meal, after a meal, at bedtime. Just find out how long. Now, many people are concerned that clay may interfere with their vitamins. Well, clay is volcanic ash, and all it is trace minerals. The higher percentage of minerals are calcium, phosphorus, potassium. They're the things we take for supplements, magnesium. But they're in such small amounts that clay is not considered as a supplement, even though it's all trace minerals. The minerals are bound together, and they hold together. It's like a tire is made up of many, many elements. I think it takes a gallon of crude oil to make a tire, and then they use carbon black and silica and I don't know what all else in the making of the tire. When they get through, they have this rubber tire. You can't reverse the process and go back and make it into the individual components once you've made the clay. The heat process that makes the rubber forms it into a different element. Well, the heat process from the volcano bound the minerals in the clay together. So the minerals in the clay make up what we know as the clay molecule, which acts as a detoxing agent. So we don't take it for minerals. But I have no reason to believe that it will interfere with your vitamins. If you're concerned, wait about an hour for vitamins and take it later. I generally get up, take my vitamins, take my shower, dry my hair, get dressed, make my bed, go into the kitchen, and drink my clay. So I think you're safe there on that. Now, let's see, where was I? Okay, I have Maureen in Chicago. Will the clay help my eyesight rid itself from mercury? Now, that's a very interesting question, Maureen, and I really need more information. How do you know you have mercury in your eyes? I have never heard of that unless you got liquid mercury splashed in them. And I'm not sure the body holds that mercury in that form in your eyes or if it's not washed out. So you don't want to put clay in your eyes. You can make a clay poultice, which generally I just use the clay. When I have allergies and get around dogs and cats and accidentally touch my face, my eyes will start weeping and watering and itching, and I just want to take my eyeballs out and scratch them. The only thing that puts out that fire for me is if I can grab my clay, the cleansing clay mask, the 3-to-1 paste. I take a scoop of it and put it very thickly over my closed eyelid. I do one eye at a time so I can see to get up and get to the bathroom and wash it off. So I'll put it over one eyelid, close it tightly, lay down for 10 or 15 minutes. It's very cold. It's very soothing. It relaxes the eye. Then I'll get up, wash it off, and do the other eye. You may notice for 30 minutes or so afterwards pus coming up in the corner of your eye, little stringy stuff, as it's kind of pulled out infections and stuff out of your eye. That's part of the cleansing detox process from applying it directly to your eyes. If you were to get just a tad in your eye, don't be alarmed. Just get some eye wash and wash it out, and you'll be just fine. William McGrath from Panama City Beach says, how does clay help our hair? Clay acts as a stimulant to bring blood flow and oxygen to the hair follicles, and sometimes our scalps are kind of numb and dead, and we don't brush our hair maybe as much as we used to. We've got these slicks and we just kind of woof it. So you're not necessarily getting circulation to your scalp. It will pull circulation to your scalp. It will clean out excess oils from the scalp. If you have oily hair, you know what I'm talking about. It will strip that oil. Now, if you have dry hair, it may dry your hair too much, in which case, we talked earlier about using a cream rinse after washing your hair with the clay. But it does seem to give the hair more body, particularly very thin, fine hair that packs. People have thrown away creams for their hair that they woof their hair with and just wash their hair with the clay, rinse it out with their shampoo, and the clay retains that body, and they can just woof their hair up, and it stays. It just has more thickness to it. Okay, let's see. Maureen in Chicago has another question. Is zeolite or zeoforce the same as clay? No, zeolite is a different mineral than clay. Zeolite is actually a crystal. It's a crystalline formation. The living clay bed has a 2-foot layer of crystalline zeolite across the clay bed that has really kept it clean from any impurities. Now, what formed after the volcano was a gas bubble, and gas bubble makes crystals. You know, you open these geodes and you see these crystalline formations inside the rock, and I have seen some with clay rocks. And what's happened is a gas bubble was captured inside the molten lava that made the rock. And over time, it creates this crystal, beautiful crystal on the inside. So zeolite is more of a crystal. It has some similar properties and functions of clays, and yet it's totally different. I'm not an advocate of this liquid clay they say for $90 for an ounce. I don't think that's beneficial to the body, and that they make a lot of big, powerful claims. I don't know. I just know how clay functions, and I know zeolite's not the same thing. I have just done some research on that, and if you're on the air, Maureen, and want more information, if you will email me at PerryA@Austin.rr.com. I'll be happy to send you more information on that. Terry in Morocco. All right. My Lyme's disease makes my left nose swollen at the groin. It inhibits me from stretching my legs out. I am also inflamed in the tailbone area. If one suggestion is a clay bath, I was told I didn't need 2 cups of clay, but only 1 cup of clay. This was for a detox. Any suggestions? Yes, Terry, before I got in the clay bath, I would put the hydrated clay over those lymph nodes areas and leave it on and let it dry good, 15 to 20 minutes or so. Then get in your clay bath. You might get by using one cup of clay in the bath that way. Generally, if it's something pretty serious and you're detoxing something pretty heavy, you know you have heavy metals, the 2 cups is better. I recommend the 1 cup if it's just for muscle exertion, playing tennis or golf, particularly the first time you play in the year and you've found all these new muscles that you awakened abruptly and they don't like it and they're kind of barking back at you. A clay bath with 1 cup of clay in the water will just soothe those muscles right out. You get out and 15 minutes later, the pain's gone. The muscle soreness is gone. So clay baths are wonderful. Now, at the same time, right now, I'm going to take an opportunity to explain how to use your clay for a clay bath. For the longest time, everyone said just sprinkle it lightly over the bathtub, and you want to do it lightly because it's going to flow down, and if you just dump it in there, the water is going to wet the outside of the clay, but the inside of the clay will be dry, so you're going to have little lumps. So we said sprinkle it in lightly and take a wire whisk and whip it around, or a plastic whisk. Just rinse your whisk off afterwards. Now, since then, I've devised a way of, I mix it in a blender. I get a gallon jar, and I have my blender. I put 2 cups of water in. I add my 1 to 2 cups of clay, and I fill it within an inch of the top. I put it on high speed and leave it on for a good while until I'm sure all the lumps are out. I can pour this into my gallon jug and make another recipe of it, and pour that into the gallon jug where I have some filled up, where I can take 2 or 3 cups of that prepared liquid mix and put it in my clay bath, which would be equal to 1 cup of the powder clay. That's already mixed, and it just pours right in and dissolves into the water. So I like that easier than getting this fine dust all over my bathroom and then getting in the club. Is a tub with little lumps of clay in the bottom that I'm constantly mashing out. There's a video, a YouTube video. If you go to YouTube and type in living clay, there are 2 videos there on how to mix the liquid clay and how to mix the clay for the clay bath. If you're just doing it for 1 bath, mix it in a blender, start your bath water, rinse it out under the hydrant in the bathtub, and get all the clay in the bathtub. Now, go wash your blender blades before you get in the bathtub, because you don't want to leave clay sitting on your blades, because it does draw heavy metals. If it's a decomposing metal, it may rust your blades. All right, good question there. Let me turn the page. I have some more questions. Well, my pages are sticking together. All right. Carrie in Cumpletown. I just wanted to comment that my son also has a G-tube, and that's how I give him clay water internally. How would I apply it for a fungal infection? I talked to Carrie earlier, and she commented about giving her son clay, and I wasn't aware that he was taking it through a tube, but yes, that's fine. You can put it that way. How would I apply it for a fungal infection? If the fungal infection is topical, apply it directly to it. Just take the cleansing clay mask, the 3-to-1 mix, and put it on the area. If it's a large outbreak, you want it on pretty thick. You can let it dry, or you can cover it with some saran wrap. Either way, it should reduce the fungal infection. Now, if it's some sort of internal fungal, drinking the clay and taking the clay baths is going to help. Okay, that's the questions from last week's seminar, and now let me get back and find the questions from today. I'm going to go over to my question and answer section. Phyllis from Knoxville. Each morning, I take a tablespoon of clay mixed in 1 cup of water and drink it. I have elevated liver enzymes due to autoimmune problems, and I want to know if I'm taking enough clay each day. I would say yes, that's a good amount. You might want to get one of those little frothers that you mix your whipped cream in a cup of espresso and make sure that the clay is fully hydrated if you're putting a tablespoon of the powder in your water, because you want it fully hydrated and blended. If you just put the powder clay in there, you're going to have a lot of grit and lumps in the bottom of it. Okay. I'm going to need to go refresh a minute. Karen Richards, this is probably a stupid question, but a friend of mine wants to know if you could possibly take tap water and run it through a filter using clay. Would this remove fluoride that is in city water and any other undesirable properties in water? That is an interesting question. Clay will take innocuous materials out of water. So if you have contaminated water with a lot of bacteria, yes, I would definitely use the clay. As far as fluoride, I'm not sure what the ionic charge on fluoride is, so it may or may not take it out. I think it would help reduce the chlorine in the water. Generally, clay will absorb some chemicals, but they have to be a bad chemical. How it knows the difference, I don't know. One of the mysteries of clay. Okay, I have a question from Chave. How effective is clay with combating severe cavities? Well, once the cavity is set in deeply, it's not going to be effective as if it is a small cavity, but using the clay daily will keep cavities from getting started. If you swish every morning, take a scoop, a mouthful of your clay water and swish it around in your mouth and your teeth, and you want to put clay on your toothbrush and brush your teeth, you can either use a little of the hydrated clay on your toothbrush and brush your teeth with it that way, or the powdered clay. And that will get the bacteria that lodges down in your gums and pulls it out and keep it from staying in those teeth. Now, I have heard of it pulling out some cavities. The last time I went to the dentist, it had been quite a while, and I had one cavity, and it was so small, he didn't even have to deaden it. It was just a tiny one, and the minute I saw it, I started packing clay on it. So whether the clay pulled it out before I got there, at night I would put dry clay over it and kind of glob it on and let the saliva hold it in place and sleep with it on there. And by the time I got to the dentist, it was just tiny. And whether the clay drew it back, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as deep as I thought it was. Maureen in Chicago. Will clay take the remaining mercury out of my body after the removing of my fillings? Yes, but it needs to be done with clay baths, because if the mercury's been leaking a while and the liver and the kidney haven't been able to process them out of your body, the mercury is stored in the soft tissues of the body. Clay baths you want to take for maybe 2 to 3 baths a week for 5 to 10 weeks. I'm sorry, 5 weeks. That would be 10 clay baths. Maybe longer, depending on how much you think you have in you. If you have any way of knowing how severe the metal is, I would recommend you take a hair analysis test before you start, and then you can compare afterwards. But we've had people that have shared their hair analysis results and have got not only mercury, but arsenic, aluminum, and other lead and other heavy metals as well. Jean in Michigan, please tell us more about metal detoxing using clay. Does this help with titanium, aluminum, mercury? I started drinking clay, then experienced heaviness in my head. I also got busy and didn't drink enough water. I only drank 3 to 4 glasses of well water in 24 hours. Can the clay cake up in the body? Question, how is clay used in ringing ears? Okay, we have several questions here. Jean, let me break these up. Well, I just talked about the metal detoxing using clay. Now, if you knew you had amalgam fillings and they might be leaking, you want to brush your teeth with it and you want to drink it every day. Recently I had a friend that had amalgam filling removed and she took the liquid clay with her, and as they removed it, she would rinse her mouth with the clay. And then afterwards she drank the clay, 3 times a day for several days to make sure it didn't go into the body. Does it help with titanium, aluminum, and mercury? I'm not sure about titanium. I know it helps with aluminum and mercury. If titanium is a heavy metal and it's stored in the soft tissues, it should work with it. I would ask, do you have a mineral analysis that shows you have titanium in your system? And then you can do it after you take the detox program, and then you'll be able to tell, you know, if you're heavy metal free. Excuse me. I started drinking clay and then experienced heaviness in my head. I also got busy and didn't drink enough water. I only drank 3 to 4 glasses of well water in 24 hours. Well, the clay is not going to cake up in the body. The clay is in the liquid state when you drink it in the first place. It's slick. And what clay does is it pulls out the old dried fecal matter in the lower colon. And when it pulls that out, it throws it in the elimination canal, and now you have dried, dark, stinky fecal matter. And oftentimes that causes constipation at first. Do whatever you need to keep your janitorial services working, whatever works for you. Some people take smooth move tea. I prefer taking magnesium tablets, 250 milligrams. You can take one in the morning, one at night. Maybe one a day will do you. But it will keep you regulated until you get all that cleaned out. But no, clay will not make little brick houses in your body. You do need to drink more water because the water is what flushes the toxins out. It helps flush them out. So when you're drinking clay, I would try to increase the amount of water. The heaviness in your head may have been a detox reaction. Sometimes if we're heavily toxic, we get a few detox reactions. Generally in the first week, it may be a little lethargic, not having energy. Generally, people taking clay report they have more energy because once you get this dried fecal matter out, you're getting more benefit from your vitamins, from your supplements, and from the foods you eat. So it tends to increase energy. It will improve your skin tone over time. There are lots of good benefits. But I would say you were just having a detox reaction and definitely need to drink more water. Okay, Georgia, does the clay affect menstrual pain, delays in PMS, etc.? Georgia, clay is very good for cycling in our hormones. So it helps us, it's all about balance and homeostasis is balance. So clay helps balance in. They have used it in livestock to help them cycle in for breeding programs. And the same affects humans the same way. It will help you cycle in. I know of women who used to take the clay to help get pregnant. And I've had a lady that used to have severe menstrual cramps, and to the point she just had to go home and take something and knock herself out because the pain was so severe. And she started taking clay. Her boss had ordered the clay. She lived in Antigua. And they only had a small amount, and she had given each of the practitioners there in the shop, it was a spa, some clay to take home and start drinking and see if they liked it. And because she didn't have very much, she was only taking a half a teaspoon of the powder clay and mixing it in water every other day. And when it came time for her menstrual period, she didn't notice her PMS highs as much. and she didn't have cramps, and she was amazed, and she went in and told everybody there. She said, "Can you believe it? I've been taking this clay, and this month I don't have cramps." And the rest of them started noticing and said, "Well, you know, I didn't have them this month either." So, yes, it's very good for regulating our system and cycling in. All right, I need to refresh my questions. Oh, here's one from Karen. "How does clay help in lowering your blood pressure? I was told that taking clay will help with blood pressure, but I have been taking clay since March and have not seen any signs that it will help lower my blood pressure. Thank you." You know, Karen, I think that's an individual thing, and it depends on what's causing your blood pressure. Some people's are caused by stress, some by overweight. The way it helps is because clay helps your circulation and blood flow. And oftentimes, poor blood pressure is stress. We tense up and tighten and cramp down the blood flow. And from overweight, its circulation is slowed down, the same thing, and it builds up. So you may have to do some things to help it along. With some people, they get instant results, and other people don't get any results at all. So I think it's an individual thing, and the reason being is that clay is an adaptogen, and it adapts to your body, and it sort of works with what it's got there. So it may be something that doesn't work with you. I have gotten testimonials that people's blood pressure has dropped 100 points. So, again, it's an individual thing, and if it's not working for you, I would try another revenue. Try something else. Okay, I have a question from Cindy. I'm loving these questions. Thank you all. "Is it safe for pregnant women? If so, will it help with urinary tract infections during pregnancy?" It will help somewhat with urinary tract infections any time if you apply the hydrated clay vaginally and take a douche using the clay. This will help get any, if there's an E. coli infection or something like that, will help draw it out. It is safe for pregnant women. Pregnant women down through the ages have taken clay. My daughter took it when she started getting the acid reflux, when you get so big that your stomach is just pushed up into your throat. And it was much better than drinking a bottle of Malex. She could just go by and take a swig of clay, and that she got quicker results. It's been known to help women with their delivery. You can rub it on your nipples to help bring down the milk after the baby is born. It helps expel the afterbirth quicker, and there are even stories of Aboriginal women that were having babies where the baby was turned sideways, and they applied clay poultice on the stomach, just applied the clay on the stomach, and it helped turn the fetus. Now, how it does that, I don't know, but those are the stories that have been passed down. All right, let's see if there are any more questions here. I'm not seeing any on that site. I'm going to go back to my audio. Who's on the phone? All right, if any of you on the phone would like to ask a question or give a testimonial, if you will press star 2, it will come up on my site, and then I can click on you and have you on the air with me. So in the meantime, I am going to talk about some frequently asked questions, a couple of which I've already answered, which the main one is, will it interfere with my medicines, and does it hinder any vitamins I take? Medicines, you need to be careful. Check with your pharmacy, see how long it takes to absorb them, and then take your clay just to be safe. And with your vitamins, you know, just wait a little while and go ahead and take them. I don't think it takes very many. I really don't think it hampers with vitamins. What are some of the other frequently asked questions I get? Now, if any of y'all have some questions you want to throw in here and help me out a little bit, I'm going to talk about internal detoxing for a minute, the importance of this on a daily basis, and to know your clays. It's important to know your clays. I'm not talking about every clay on the planet. Some clays say don't take it but a week or two and then off a week or two. To me, that's a red flag that it might be an immature clay. And I want to know what clay is safe to take. I've been taking clay on a daily basis, year in and year out, and it has done nothing but help me. So I am thrilled with the results that I get from taking clay on a daily basis. What it does is it keeps you cleansed and it keeps the overload off your body. So you don't have to struggle with, you know, absorbing the clay and then for your body trying to get rid of it through the liver and the kidney. Okay, while I'm talking, I'm trying to get back to see if I have any more questions. So if I stop for a minute, it's because I can't chew gum and walk at the same time, and it's hard for me to maneuver and talk and know what I'm saying. Okay, I have a call from Jean in Michigan. How is clay used for ringing ears, tinnitus? Also, will clay help someone with hearing loss? My 50-year-old mother wears hearing aids, so I wondered if using clay may be beneficial for hearing loss. Does clay help bladder prolapse? Okay, the ringing in the ears, I have that from time to time, and I really have tried using the clay, putting it on topically on the outside of my jaw all around the ear. And I haven't noticed any change in that. So I'm thinking it's not going to be real good for the tinnitus. Your mother wearing hear aids, I don't think it will replace the hearing loss, and it depends on what what the cause of the hearing loss is. You know, often over the years, we've had earaches and things and scar tissues build up, and that eardrum thickens, I guess. As we get older, I'm having the same thing. I'm 71, and I'm noticing if someone talks real fast and runs their words together, I can't distinguish between the words. So I have to get them to talk slower so I can hear them. It's just one of the attributes we get from being older and wiser. Does it help with the bladder prolapse? I shouldn't think that it would. That is a muscle condition, a weakening, sagging, if you will. And since clay can't get in there to it, I don't see how it could tighten that up. You might try applying a poultice over the bladder area and see if there's any effect. I just don't think it would be too successful for that. I'd love to say clay works with everything, but it really doesn't. And here's another one from Karen. I have high blood pressure. Will taking clay help this condition? As I said earlier, in some places it does. Some cases it does, in some cases it doesn't. So you can try it and see. And if it's going to work for you, you will probably notice it within a week or two of having good results. All right, I'm going back over to my phone lines, refresh, and see if I have any questions. No questions. Okay, summertime is here, and we are exposed to insect bites and all sorts of sunburn. If you go to the beach, take your clay with you. A wonderful way to detox is put the hydrated clay all over your body. Let the sun be the heat that opens the pores and draws it out. While you have clay on your body, the sun rays will not bother you. You won't get sunburn. That's an unusual thing. It's just that who wants to walk around with dry clay on them to keep from getting a sunburn? If you were to get sunburn, badly blistered, put the clay on it, wet clay on it immediately, and try to keep it wet and keep fresh wet clay on there till the tenderness is gone. It's important to get it on right away and put it on thick and if you can, to keep it wet until that tenderness goes away. If you're at the beach and you get stung by jellyfish, there's not many things that will take the jellyfish sting away, but clay will. So dry the leg and apply the hydrated clay to it immediately, and it will begin within a minute of soothing that violent sting. Now, this goes for any kind of insect bite. Clay takes the pain away. It's a natural analgesic, people. I mean, it works on insect bites. If you mash your finger, if you burn yourself, it just takes the pain away. I have people with arthritis in the knees that apply the muscle rub or the clay, and it reduces the pain significantly. So it's a wonderful natural analgesic for any kind of insect bite. Also works on poison ivy, any kind of skin irritation or skin rash. If you break out with something, put clay on it immediately. Keep the wet clay on it until the itching or the irritation goes away. Now, it works on blisters. If you were to have some new sandals and rub a blister on your foot, put it on thickly that night. The next day, you won't see the blister. The water will be out of the blister. The skin will be attached back to the foot, and the redness will be gone. It pulls out the swelling and inflammation. These are just some of the minor attributes I attribute to clay. So if you sprain your ankle, wrap it thickly in clay and keep your leg propped up for a while. It's going to bring blood flow and oxygen, pull that excess fluid off, and help take the tenderness away. Again, a warm clay bath or a foot soak for something like that. I'll just talk a little bit about foot soaks for detoxing. If you're unable to get in and out of a clay bath very easily, you might consider foot baths. We sweat through our feet, the palms of our hands, and the top of our heads. The skin is the largest breathing organism on our body. And when we're detoxing, we detox through the skin, through our breath, through our urine, and through our feces. So that's the way we get rid of toxins, even through the eyes, watering of the eyes, stuff coming out of our eyes. The body tries to cleanse itself, so it just needs a little help sometime, and clay is a wonderful help. You can go to Walmart and buy a plastic shoebox-type container with a lid to it, and they're about $4 for the container and the lid. Mix you up some clay and make it kind of a muddy. You don't want it as liquid as the drinking, but a little more than the hydrated, so kind of a soupy mud, and soak your feet in it. If you have corns and calluses, it's going to help remove them. Just sit outside and put your feet down, get two of those little puppies, soak your feet for 20 or 30 minutes, wash your feet off. Now, you don't want to get out of that and walk on a linoleum floor or slick pavement, because the wet clay is very slippery and you might fall down. So take a towel, an old towel, and wash it off. Now, living clay doesn't stain, so you can put it on your towel, throw them in the washing machine, and the clay will wash out. But a good clay soak is a good way to detox and pull things out through the bottom of your feet. You can put the lid on these and keep them and reuse them. It takes a good while to fill all the space that clay has with toxins, so one use will not usurp all your clay, and the unused clay will work the next time. How do you know your clay is good? Smell it. If you've had clay for a long time in a container, smell it. If it begins to smell musty or old, you might want to throw it out and start fresh. But as long as it smells fresh, you're doing fine, so you can keep reusing it. I've had many people ask if you can reuse the clay bath. I would not leave it in the bathtub to use the next day. If you want to take a clay bath or you want to bathe your children in it and then you get in and take a bath next, that's fine. You don't want to leave it in there. It may not be that good, depending on the quality of your bathtub. Some of these cheap plastic tubs, it will kind of make them rough on the bottom when you leave the clay in there. Is clay, can I wash it down the drain? Yes, from a clay bath, you've got so much water that clay is in solution, and it's just a small amount. It's already hydrated. It's not like putting dry powder in your pipes, and then it's going to swell up and clog things up. So by the time you get all that clay rinsed out of the bathtub, you have not only helped your pipes, empty your tub, but you've helped your pipes, because it will pull some of the bacteria and the slime that builds up inside of our pipes. I have one lady that has an autistic child who gives her 3 clay baths a week, and she has an old house with 50-year-old pipes, and generally she had to have the plumber out a couple of times a year. And since she's been using the clay baths, she hasn't had to have the plumber out. So those are some of the amazing things about clay. All right, I'm going to go back over and check on questions and see if I have any. Hang on a minute while I manipulate around and... Okay, here's some. Lisa says, would clay be safe for my dog, a Great Dane? And if so, how much and what way is the best way to give it to her? Clay would be wonderful for your dog, except the Great Dane, it may give him more energy. So I hope he's well disciplined and won't jump on you. It will also worm them. We have reports of a lady that had some puppies and started the puppies on the clay and took them to the vet, and the vet examined their stool, and she said, I've never seen a puppy without parasites, and there are no parasites showing up on their fecal slides. And she said, well, I know why, because I've been giving them clay. So you're going to worm your critters. Now, it doesn't work on heartworms, because that's a bloodborne parasite, but it does work on intestinal parasites. For a Great Dane, I would take... 2 tablespoons of the hydrated clay and stir it in their food, either stir it on dry food or if they eat wet food or if they eat raw food, raw meats, just stir it in with it and they'll eat it. I have a lot of people who kind of play hide and seek with the clay with their dog, and one lady's dog scoots around and finds the clay and eats the clay first and then eats the dog food. I've had some dog owners say that when they don't put the clay on the dog food, the dog just looks at it and looks back up at him like, you know, you left something out. So these critters know. Okay, I have another question. It says, I have red patches on the scalp that become dry immediately after showering. I believe it is an eczema on the scalp. Would you mix an oil like coconut or hemp oil with the clay and place it on the areas? Or would one of your moisture-based blends be better? Actually, in that case, if you think it's an eczema, I think the straight clay would be better. If you want to mix some oil into the clay, mix it in the hydrated clay. Never mix oil with your dry powder clay because it keeps them from expanding and swelling. So hydrate your clay. You can mix a little in and rub it in those spots. And if you can do that several times and then take a shower and wash it off or wash your hair, I think you'll see an improvement in those conditions. All right, I'm out of questions here. Karen in Michigan, do you use magnesium oil? And if you do, how do you use it? Can you use it with clay? Magnesium oil is a good product. It's a transdermal. It absorbs into the skin. A lot of people put it in their baths. I don't recommend using it with the clay in a clay bath because the magnesium oil penetrates in, the clay pulls out, so they're going to compromise each other and not be as effective. I got some of the magnesium oil and I tried using it, and it was very irritating to my skin. If you have sensitive skin, it tends to irritate and kind of sting. But you hear a lot of things, magnesium, you know, I just take the 250 magnesium tablets and go from there. So I wouldn't use them together. But if you want to continue separate, that's fine. Okay, I'm out of questions here. Let me see who's on the phone and if I have any phone questions. You press star 2 if you have a question and you want to raise your hand. And I'm not seeing any questions here. Okay, we were talking about clay baths and foot soaks. You know, summertime, a lot of people ask me, do I know any places where you can take a mud bath? And there is a place in Conestoga, California that has mud baths. They have a him and her mud bath, so you can go in and have your bathtubs close to each other and sit there and soak and hold hands and if you want. I know there are some in Colorado. I've been to some just driving through Colorado. You'll see these natural springs and mud baths. I don't know what kind of clay they use. We went to one time. It was a very slippery room. Everybody was using the same mud and then getting in the showers and then getting in their mineral pool. So it was a nice experience. If you want to do something like that, here is a neat way to take a mud bath. And you talk about really detoxing. You're going to get enough on you, it's going to work good. Get you a plastic kiddie pool. Now, you may have to use a gallon of the dry powder clay or even more and add water to it. Now, if you stir it, you're going to have lumps of clay. So if you will cover it in water, say in 3 or 4 inches more than the clay, put a tarp over it and let it slowly, gradually absorb. Then you can stir it without lumps. If you begin to stir it and it gets lumped, get you a wire whisk and kind of whip it. You got to knock those clumps open because there's dry powder inside that haven't absorbed the clay with. And you want to get it to a consistency that it's pretty soupy mud, but enough that if you put your hand in and pulled it out, you would see evidence of clay on your hand. Now get in that clay and lay and roll around in it and get it all over you, your hair, your face, head to toe. Just waller in the clay. And you can stay in there as long as you like. Get out and walk around your yard, let it dry, hose yourself off, go in and take a shower. You're going to have a stimulation all over your body, blood flow and oxygen's going to be pumping everywhere. And you had a wonderful detox effect, just being in it and getting out and let it dry naturally on your skin outside with the natural sun. And either have a private backyard or put on a bathing suit, please. So those are some wonderful ways. Now, you can keep using this mud in the clay pool. Cover it with a tarp where insects and leaves and things don't get in it. And you can use it many times again. If you're curious about if it's still good, just smell it. If it smells sour or moldy, it's time to wash it off. When you wash it off, add more water and scoop up some of it and go around and water all your plants in your yard. Disperse it over your lawn. It's very good for the plants and the grass. So that's my tip of the day. And it looks like our time has run out. Thank you all for listening in. And I will see you on Friday. Excuse me. I'm going to have to turn to next month to find out when my next teleseminar is. It will be on June 15th at 7 p.m. We're going to try a night one for the people that work during the day. At Central Standard Time, we'll send a notice out. Thank you again for listening in. It's been my pleasure to share clay information. Have a great weekend. It's a wonderful time to go out and celebrate. Wherever you go, take your clay with you for emergencies. If not you, somebody around you may need some clay. Thank you and have a good day. Bye.